Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million. You didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Inatech.
No, you're working at Inatech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
I'm talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million, if I had $1 million.
Well, welcome back to Stockton Giants. I'm Tim Allen. This is Matt Weber on the board. SP Futures down 10.50. NASDAQ Futures down 37. Dow Futures down 55. Kind of big news this morning as we've got, John, how are you?
I'm very good. And you, Tom?
Doing all right. We have, if you're in the Hang Seng market and you're long, you're not so hot. But I think Morgan Stanley or somebody downgraded from Hark. Anyway, they're down 810 points, 2.8%. Shanghai's down 43, 1.4. Nikkei's down 218.9. So we're not anywhere near that. Good thing we're not long the Hang Seng, John. You ever been along the Hang Seng?
Coronavirus scare or what's going on?
Well, now they claim it jumps from people to people, person to person.
That's terrifying.
They got guys, taking people's temperatures when they come off planes already? They already found it in Korea and Japan. So if you're are the life insurance companies going to be down today or what?
Yeah, I heard they have temperature tracking in the airports.
Yeah.
San Francisco and New York and Miami or someplace, but they were looking for people coming in from China, so they seem to be worried enough about it to get out divorces. So.
What was it? Here's your buddy. Trump says he could get used to negative interest rates as he blasts the Fed. isn't it startling that we have to put up with this?
Unreal.
Yeah, it is not a gift from people to him, meaning he can borrow money and they pay him. It's not homage to the Trump. I won't say anything bad. It's something wrong with society. The interest rates are negative. It's not. He thinks it's homage to him. The people love me so much they will give me money to get less back a year later. Does anybody really think that? Good Lord.
Every cloud has a silver lining.
I guess. The interesting part is the same people that he's. This weekend I was hauling around some of Audrey's pals that have car issues. And anyway, being the nice guy that I am, but one of the ladies is very. Is she's very right wing, which doesn't make her bad. But I was just asking her. It's interesting, John. The more you talk to people on the left and the right, and you try and if you can get a few facts into the situation, it's fairly startling how people change their tune, both left and right, because there's a lot of stuff that just blows by people. And again, when I say this, it's not like. We're smart on the show and everybody else is a dummy. It's not. This is what we do for a living. So we may not want to. Like yesterday was a day off. I didn't pay attention to any of this crap till about 6 o'clock. So actually it was a nice day until 6 o'clock. I started digging into it again. But I mean, that's what I do for people. That's my job. Right. So I might as well impart some of the stuff that I learned during the day for my people on the podcast or on the air. Right. I mean, it's, why is it take two for the price of one, as they say? And I don't think, Jan, this lady was saying, so how many people do you think have a could write down a piece of paper, not nod their head up and down? Just call them with seminars, the head bobbers. For people, do you ever get that? Yeah. And then all of a sudden you say, well, then what did I just say? I'm not sure. You know, that type of thing. How many people do you think get the whole idea of the government borrowing money and then the Fed going buying the paper? How it's a two-step process, and how if Trump is blasting the Fed, he's really blasting the Treasury. That what he's saying is that the Treasury's not going out and buying up the stuff at a ridiculous price, to which now the government's making money, but the Treasury's, or the Fed is losing it. You don't get anywhere, right?
Right.
And she says to me, I don't think 1% of the population has a clue what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, I think that's probably much less than that.
How do you get much less than
that? That's one of the beauties of the Fed, I guess. You know, hardly anybody understands it or thinks about it or appreciates what, you know, power there is, the split, you know, with a private entity. And it's only particular moments, I guess, when things are completely out of whack that people begin to focus on it. And I think it's probably by design that it is so, you know, esoteric. And the average person, including me sometimes, I have a tough time explaining it to myself, other than, you know, if I get wrought up or angry about something, I blame this confusion on the fact that it's so poorly understood, and it shouldn't be. But it's one of the marvels of it, that it keeps its, you know, real identity and its focus so well hidden. So I don't know. I mean, I think 1% might be generous.
Well, the beauty of it is the creature from Jekyll Island. The beauty of it is that the as one person borrows, the other scrambles to buy what they just borrowed. The five or six or however many prime dealers make commission on all those trades. That's the beauty of it.
Captive market, yeah.
And it's all because of this, what's the word, moral, you can't help a guy out with his mortgage because it's moral, that was the phrase. Maddie, help me out here. You can't go down that road and help somebody because once you start doing that, of course you can help the rich people all you want. Moral hazard.
Yeah.
What a great term. It's a moral hazard to give that guy $5 who's in the gutter. What about you cheating on your income tax? Well, I got good lawyers. That's okay. It's anyway. I'm speaking like a, what do they call Roosevelt? I'm a traitor to my class. Is that what I am? Is that what I am, Maddie? A traitor to my class? What is my class? I'm not sure what my class is, but is that the truth? To say stuff about, but you know, but the whole thing when this was going on Friday or Thursday when I listened to Pelosi for an hour, and I'm like, must have been Wednesday. I think it was Wednesday, and she just, I don't know, the one girl in the office kept saying, God, she sounds like her dentures are going to fall out.
Yep.
And then I thought, she has to be drunk. She tipping one in the morning these days or what? Then Trump comes on and ranting and raving. Anyway, I'll go through it real quick. What ends up, if for instance, the Treasury goes out and borrows money from Matt Weber, he's got a lot of dough, borrows $1 million from Matt Weber, at say, you know, 1%, some ridiculously low number. And all of a sudden, 3 weeks later, the prices go up so much that they go over the number, which, here's what happened. Let's say this. If you went out and bought a bond for $1 million, the bond paid 1%. Okay, you're going to pay the $1 million. The bond's going to pay you 1%. At the end of 30 years, you'll get your $1 million back. So the return on that bond is 1%. The coupon rate is 1. You bought it exactly par value, so the rate's going to be 1%. Virtually no bond ever trades at 100%. Even when they're new, they don't trade at 100%. So there's always an adjustment, even if it's 2 days later, to the market price. You're going to pay, you know, 100.025 or 9994 or something. I mean, very seldom the thing ever traded one. But if it did, so what if you paid 110 for it? Or 120? If you paid 110 for it, you go, wait a minute, I'm going to get $1 every year, 1% every year for 30 years, but at the end of the day, I'm only going to get 100 and not the 110 I paid for it. You're probably still going to make a little something there. a little something something, because a lot of the, because you're paying the money out now, but you're only discounting it back at 1%. So I'm going to say you're still slightly ahead. So probably the actual market rate then is going to be not 1%, but maybe 0.5%. Now, if you run it up to where you're paying like 120 for it, well, now we're getting real close to zero. Obviously, if you pay 130 for it, and you're going to get a dollar interest for 30 years and 100 back, that equals 130. So that's going to be negative because there's some time value on that interest, right? And the time value on the, even if it's only 1%. So somebody's going to pay for that, right? So if the Fed goes out and buys this bond at a price at which it's negative, whatever you pick up, whatever the Treasury picks up, now granted, the bonds that are sold to people foolishly that buy them have been negative, they're going to end up getting stuck. But the Fed, the money that the Treasury essentially takes in because they sold it for such a price higher than the combined interest plus what you're going to get back on the bond, the Fed has to turn around and pay that. So it's the flip side, which is very, very difficult to conceive. But let me run through the normal side. The normal side is the Treasury goes out and sells a 5% bond. Okay, so they're going to get 5% on that bond. Now, the Fed can go out now if they want to put money into the system. They essentially write a check on nothing, but it'll clear. That's how they make money. They buy the bond. So now they're getting the interest. So essentially the Treasury is paying the interest to the Fed. They're paying it to themselves. Even though and then at the end of the year, the Fed makes this grandiose thing where they walk in with a check and give the money back to the Treasury. But it's all just smoke and mirrors, right, John? It's the same place.
It is.
The only thing is, in the middle, you got people front running it, and you got people getting paid commissions. I mean, as much as I love to manage money for people and everything, make me a prime dealer tomorrow, and all of a sudden, I'll have a golf handicap. I'll be in two country clubs. It's all I'll do all day. Make me a prime dealer. And whenever you want to do something, I get the first shot, put it out there, and you call me up and say, "Hey, by the way, Chief, we want to buy like $5 billion worth of bonds today. Can you think you can accumulate them and sell them to us for like a higher price? Oh, and by the way, charges commission." Yeah, I can do that. I mean, it's astounding that this stuff goes on, Dan. And we have a president saying we should do even more of it because they're gonna pay me. The only reason why anybody drives that price higher, you would never. I don't know. It's been going on in Europe for a while, but there probably isn't a stooge in this world that would lend money. I mean, you couldn't have found a caveman who lent somebody 100 stones, and at the end of the year, how many stones do I get back? What do you mean? You got to bring me 3 more for the privilege of me using your stones. No, it doesn't work that way. In human events for centuries. I mean, but now we've got it working this way, and we've got some guy who thinks this is great. It's like he's Flounder in the movie. This is great, guys. But I mean, the only person who's going to pay. The reason why that price is high is because people think somebody's going to pay more for it. And who's the somebody? It's a central bank in every country. It is. It's not going to be Matty Weber or me or you.
Right.
Hey, wait a minute. You paid 110 for that bond. What are you, some kind of idiot? Here's 112. No, only a central bank would do that. Anyway, and we have a president saying how great it is.
It's funny. Trump, who styles himself a Jacksonian, this is the sort of thing that Andrew Jackson was just, wide-eyed about.
Yeah.
The idea that there'd be any kind of a national bank that operated under the guise of, federal protection and yet was in it for its own profit. That here you got Trump kind of like endorsing the whole system. So,
let's wrap down a little away from the policy and all the crap that when people talk about the Fed. And one of these days you'll get your carcass down here, meet some of my Fed guys, and you'll enjoy talking to these guys. By the way, they're all writer of the toe of the hunt, as you might imagine. So, so you'll love them. But 95% of what the Fed does all day, how could we possibly do without? I mean, when I say that, I'm not talking about Powell's policy decisions. I'm talking about every check runs through them, every settlement transaction runs through them. I mean, how could they would be the only guys that figured out that in order for every, If you go in and do a currency transaction at Harris or some other place, or remember any other places to do it, but say you do a currency transaction, you buy some euros or you buy some Swiss francs or whatever, all that stuff ends up going through the Fed and it settles with the central banks overseas at the exact same second. So all the stuff, it took those guys years to put that together, Dan.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if we didn't have the Fed at the central core of the banking system, I don't know how we'd exist, to be honest with you. I'm not talking about the policy stuff. I'm talking about just the day-to-day work at the Fed, where this bank, all of a sudden there's a bank in, whatever, Decatur, that comes January, February, everybody there wants a loan for their crops, and they don't have enough reserves, so they borrow some from the Fed. Now, if they weren't able to do that, that's what used to cause all the panics in the 1800s.
Well, what little I know about the history of all this, is that after the 1907 Depression, which was a regional one, as far as I know, I mean, it was because of, you know, inability to get cash to places in the country where it was needed or to anticipate needs, and nobody was watching the store. You know, the state banks were powerless to do anything more than deal with things at a very local level. So the Fed, you know, was an attempt to kind of equalize the risk with regional Feds and to, you know, anticipate, you know, when cash was in, you know, a crunch situation somewhere, that this didn't bring the economy to a halt in places where everything else was okay. So it was a way of kind of, you know, relieving pressure and having some central store that was aware of what everybody else was doing, and it kept the system in some kind of delicate balance. So yeah, I agree. It's now become part of a system that, in, you know, in many corners works well as far as keeping control over an ever more unmanageable creature. So the thinking, I you know, had some, you know, good, you know, benefits ahead of it, but it's now become an arcane thing that has, with the kind of money that's floating around and the debt that's floating around. Now, I don't know that it's an instrument for good. So,
well, but I'm saying just the day-to-day activities of it, there's no way we can do without.
Sure.
I mean, I'm going to say 95% of what they do is in that activity. Those guys, they don't care about policy.
Right.
How do we make sure that, I mean, ever since one of the things that 2007, 2008 came across, especially with the Dodd-Frank rules, which was really pretty one of the dumbest pieces of legislation in parts, not all of it, but in parts, that now what the Fed has done is all the major clearing exchanges, like DTC and OCC and so forth, have their own portals into the Fed because they don't trust the bank. So if there's another big problem where OCC needs money, they're going to go right to the Fed because you can't.
Right.
With some of the Dodd-Frank stuff, I don't know if you know this, Jan, it got to the point where you couldn't deposit money overnight at a Fed, at a bank, because they considered that, like, if a clearing corp had, say, $1 billion too much overnight, he went to give it to Jamie Dimon. He didn't want it because it was considered fast money and he needed more capital for that. So let me get this straight. We've designed a system where banks can't accept money. And, oh, by the way, they don't give any loans. That's one hell of a banking system.
What a beautiful arrangement.
Well, yeah. I mean, and, I just, when you go through this bank earnings, and obviously I had the one that was a clunker, Wells Fargo. I managed to pick that one. I think it was down like 10%. But you look at these guys, you know, I think, Jan, that we would agree on an awful lot of stuff, that if you look at the guys that have been on here a couple times, Credit Union One and some of the other credit unions, you look at those places, they are now doing a banking function, essentially, right?
Yes.
And they charge way less, and they pay way more, and their service is better. So explain to me exactly why, if Credit Union One can pay whatever they're paying, 1%, 1.5%, they charge under 10 on their credit cards. And they pay some on their savings accounts too. And they give nice service and all the other stuff that you get from a bank. Why does Jamie Dimon need 25%? Are you paying him for $5,000 because it's under, I think they have a minimum. Explain to me how that's working.
Yeah, it's an excellent question, and it's, you know, they're using their reputation, they're using their size as trump cards for business, but Really, as you say, there's no deals that they're giving people at all. And you have to wonder what's, you know, keeping that kind of transactional, you know, relationship afloat, other than they're using people's fear of dealing with a smaller entity. But then you're in the too big to fail realm where, you know, that's what you don't want people really doing. You don't want them to be afraid of investing in smaller entities where, you know, there is competition. This is what frosts me too. I think credit unions are a great deal. The fact that they're not more widely used, you know, shows that there's a subtle campaign against them, and it all has to do with, you know, the fears of people, you know, not having a big behemoth, you know, watching over them. And, you know, when did the big behemoth ever look after anybody very carefully?
Well, look after themselves first. It'd be different if the credit union was, you know, 23%. But they're not. They're like under. It's like 15% difference. It's like we're not even on the same planet,
right?
And yet, you know, and one is getting all his favorite stuff with the trades from the Fed and all the other stuff. It's, I mean, I just think it's kind of scary, Jim. And I don't know how you, whenever you go down this road, how do you bring it all back? How do you? So last week, I don't know if you were 2 weeks ago, where they had all the drug companies were at some place. And they were all interviewing all these guys, and all they were doing was talk about research and how what a great job they do for people. God, if I had an air sickness bag, I'd have reached for it. I mean, these people actually believe that, like what they're making is legit and all that. I mean, I don't know. The last thing I want to do as a competitive guy is to start worrying about people's salaries. But anytime an area is not competitive, that's the first thing you look at. You know, because if you don't have to worry about. The guy who owns the Waffle Hut or the guy who owns the Tripoli Tap paying himself too much, because guess what? It's competitive and there's nothing there to pay, right? Except
yeah.
a fair wage. I'm not saying $10 an hour for an owner. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying, you start talking about a guy who's not even an owner making like $30 million a year. You kind of wonder, could I find somebody for 20? It'll take this job. Maybe you, Jed. Would you do it for 20? just thinking. You know,
it's Tuesday, I might do it. Yeah, right.
only if it's Tuesday. SP futures, we're still down 10.50. NASDAQ futures down 37. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Man, here's a shocker. Trump urges his own acquittal. You think? Oh, Lord. SP futures up 9. I'm saying down 9. NASDAQ futures down 32 and a quarter. We've got the Dow futures down 55 individual stocks. The Apple down a buck and a half, but they've been running on a tear the last Thursday, Friday. Still at 317.16. Around the rest of the world, we've got Europe, if I could hit the right button here. Yeah, Europe, DAX down 21.1%. FTSE down 62.8. CAC around down 43. That's 0.8 as well. Over in Asia, this is where the numbers are. Nikkei down 219.9%. Shanghai down 43.1%. But this is the one here. Hong Kong falls more than 2%. They've got a downgrade from Moody's of all places. They're down 810 points. That's 2.8%. That's a lot. Bonds, we've got the U.S. 10-year 1.8%, but a bond minus 0.21. Japan slipped negative again, minus 0.005. We've got oil, 90 cents, 57.74. Brent down a buck, 64.14. We've got gold down 270, 15, 57, but it was at a peak on Friday. Silver still over 18 bucks, 18.005. Anyway, that's for us, traffic, weather, sports, but he's on the phone with Joel, so we'll throw a few more stacks here. I said we've got, Goldman Sachs down a buck, 57. I'm concerned about this Hong Kong market, and, so Manny, this thing is somewhat like the SARS virus. When these things die out, where do they go? They're not gone forever, are they? Where do they hide?
Always keep them contained. That way, in a movie, a terrorist organization can break in and steal the virus.
That was like smallpox.
So they keep them contained somewhere.
Well, that was smallpox. There's only a couple spots where you have smallpox.
I think all of those viruses are contained somewhere under lock and key.
I think some of them, when they die down and nobody has them anymore, doesn't mean they're gone in society or someplace.
Yeah, it could be.
Anyway, what do you have for us, traffic, weather, sports? What about all these shootings? All these, the poor bar in Kansas City, guys celebrating the game, some guys start shooting?
I read about that. 36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. A couple of issues to report already. We had a crash blocking the two left lanes on northbound Lakeshore Drive at at just before 18th Drive. Those two left lanes have reopened from that earlier crash. Marquette up to Monroe is 19 minutes, so traffic clearing up there, but still a little bit of a slowdown coming in on Lakeshore Drive on the south side. No issues on the Kennedy. We do have an issue on the Edens, though. There's a fire at Niles Center Road between Toohey and Howard Street, and this is causing gaper traffic on the Edens as the Edens cruises by. Folks are stopping by to check out the fire, and that's causing a slowdown, so keep that in mind. No issues on the Kennedy, as I mentioned. Eisenhower and Stevenson looking good. Dan Ryan, I-57, and the Bishop Ford are all quiet, so that's good news. Out in the western burbs, Cermak Road at Butterfield Road, there is a crash. And just northeast of there, York Road at Irving Park Road, there is an accident as well. Weather today, slightly warmer than yesterday, still below freezing. We won't be above freezing until likely tomorrow, but at least some sunshine today. Sunny skies with a high near 30. Right now it is clear and 19 degrees downtown with a wind chill of 8. For our Phoenix listeners, rain with a high of 59 today. Right now there are showers in the area and 55. In sports, the Bulls with some Martin Luther King Day matinee action. They were up in Milwaukee and lost to the Bucks 111-98. Suns lost a heartbreaker to the Spurs at home 120-118. And in hockey, legendary Blackhawks coach and three-time Stanley Cup champion Joel Quenneville returns to the bench tonight in Chicago. Of course, this time he'll be leading the Florida Panthers as the Panthers will take on the Blackhawks up at the UC. I'm sure there'll be a nice ovation and tribute to Joel Quenneville. That's a 7:30 p.m. puck drop.
Jake. Does anybody think the team would be any worse now if he was here?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I don't. Joel, how are you, buddy?
Good, good, good. How's that Chicago winter? I remember, being in Chicago and that, the wind effect, coming off the lake there and chilling you to the bone. You guys surviving?
Well, Saturday was interesting. It was raining and kind of slushy.
And kind of mild in the morning.
Well, yeah. And then by the time I left downtown, it was like 40 degrees. I got to Orleans, it was 20. But that's all right. The wind was only about 40 miles an hour. It was like howling. Just how Audrey said all the stuff on her back. You know, she had the chairs outside, and they're all piling over.
We had one of those weird weekends, Joel, where we got a bunch of snow Friday afternoon, like three or four inches. Then all of a sudden, Saturday morning, it's like 40 degrees and warm, and everything's melting. So all the snow melts into like 3 inches of water, and then the temperature shifts, and by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's like 12 degrees. And it's like freezing out, and we have like 3 inches of ice covering Lincoln Park. So if you didn't shovel during that like 4-hour window and clear it off, which of course like half the people don't, now there's like 3 inches of ice covering all the sidewalks. And if you walk a dog every day like I do, it's almost impossible.
Oh, yeah. We had the same thing here, but got out ahead of it, and we're going to maybe get above 20 today. But, guys, I got some breaking news for you here.
What's the news?
The market's in the red this morning.
I know.
There's actually the S&P futures are trading lower. I've rebooted my computer three times, and they're down 10 every time. I'm not sure what's going on.
Well, what is going on in Hong Kong? What did Moody's actually say?
Moody's?
They downgraded Hang Seng or the whole city. What did they downgrade? This thing's down like almost 3%.
How often do those big ratings changes? I mean, their markets were weak overnight to begin with.
Yeah.
But I mean, those ratings changes. I mean, what they go from triple B to double B. I mean, I don't know how can you reach? They downgraded their ratings to capital A, small A, and a 3. Now, do you know what the hell that means?
Well, I mean, should mean difference in interest. They got to pay more.
Correct. But, I mean, I don't know. They did it. They hit it Sunday night. You know, we had a little bit of different market dynamics. The SPOOs are open Sunday night. They do trade until 12 o'clock Central on Monday. Then they close for 6 hours. So, a little bit easier to move the markets. They got it going on Sunday night and then rebounded, and they hit it again Monday. So, I'd say the only thing, I mean, obviously you can't say anything bad about this market is, a lot of times you see like a Friday high, maybe that, the high for the week, and see that hold up, or lately it's been like a Friday low. So we did make a new all-time high on Friday. all-time closing high, 33.25. So we get back above that, no worry here. But see if we have the old Friday-Monday turn. The Boeing news certainly isn't helping anything here. Boeing's needing to go to the bank here for more money, looking for a $10 billion loan. I mean, that can't be good news for all the people that have been following Boeing. $320 has just been an absolute rock of support in this thing. We're trading down 211, so under 320, you're looking at under 300. And the funds may actually turn on this thing if it takes out 320 today, but we'll see what happens.
Well, the I was involved in one of these things, but it's so long ago and so different in scale, I can't even really. But I mean, if you were to really sit down and scribble out on a piece of paper, of course nobody does it anymore. I've been hearing as much as if they were approved today, it would be 2 years before the last one that was parked is flying. Just because there's so many of them that are parked, and it takes hours and hours, and you have to have people have to come pick them up. I mean, for those, I think I read this, I'm sure it's the same way, Joel, that when Boeing doesn't fly anybody a plane, they don't deliver anything. There's a spot in Everett, Washington, where somebody shows up and there's a little house out there and you essentially pay for your plane. Of course, nobody pays for it. They give the check is from some leasing company, GE or somebody, and the pilots would show up, get in the plane and fire up and go. But I mean, it's gotta be, how many hours do you think it's gonna have to be in testing and retrofit and everything for the planes that have been parked for a year? Damn near a year.
I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot going on. You got, you know, someone new in the C-suite. They thought that, you know, would give the stock a boost. I have absolutely no idea how long it's going to take for this thing to be resolved. But, you know, when you're in a headline stock and you got to be subject, you know, be ready to trade the headlines. And, man, I don't see at this point, you know, a great compelling reason to be long the stock. And also, if you're a long-term shareholder, it's had an amazing run. I mean, you know, you're sitting on profits here. I mean, the stock started 2017 at the 150 level. Those people are still sitting on a double. So, I don't know. Headline stock, you got to be careful.
Well, yeah, but it's one of those things, Joel. I mean, everybody's falling back on the fact that look 5 years out. They're a duopoly / monopoly. No matter what it is, at the end of the day, somehow or another, the people are just going to start paying more for these things, right? Because where else are you going to go? I mean, there's no way that Airbus can ramp up to... These things are talking like 40, 50 a month. I mean, maybe Airbus could cover 5 of that or 10, but they're not going to cover 40 or 50, are they?
I mean, I don't think they have the facilities to do it.
No,
I
mean, they certainly don't have the financing. What would that take? The company would have to double. And why would you ever do that? I mean, because then you're way overcapacitized, right? So, I mean, if ever anybody is having nothing but bad things happen, but they're sort of in the sweet spot that they will be able to come back, it probably would be Boeing. I mean, I don't see Bombardier jumping into the mix. They're in bad shape, too. I mean, I don't see another airline. I mean, it's not like the government's going to force them to split off McDonnell Douglas and start making DC-9s again. I mean, that's not going to happen, right? So what do you think?
It reinforces my theory that I need to move up to Harbor Springs, Petoskey, Traverse City area, and just fish and hunt all day, even though I don't fish or hunt. But I never liked air travel, and certainly going to get more difficult over the years.
Well, now you'd be ice fishing. I'm not so sure that'd be cool.
It'll be
cold. All right,
no
so who's a new winner of the NFL Players Association's Top 50 Players Sales List? Who's number one now?
Top jersey? Are you talking about jersey sales?
Yeah.
I would have to go, I mean, since ESPN has already crowned him not only the greatest player in the NFL, the greatest player of all time, and the greatest player in the history of sports, Patrick Mahomes.
You would be right. He blew by a past Tom Brady. First rookie to be in that spot since Ezekiel Elliott became the first rookie following the 2016 season.
I mean, I like this guy. I mean, you know, the problem when the markets are closed on Monday, I actually turned on ESPN when I was doing some bookkeeping around the house, and the entire time they're talking about how he's the greatest, great as this, great as that. I like the guy. He's great. Win 6 Super Bowls. Win 1 Super Bowl. Do something. I mean, you know, should be a good Super Bowl. Looking forward to it. But, man, oh, man, people should listen to Stocks and Jocks instead of watch ESPN.
Oh,
listen to Benzinga's pre-market prep at 8 a.m. That's just useless information on that channel. And Stephen A. Smith, I mean, maybe we should start yelling at people more. Maybe they would they would listen a little bit better.
Well, we got to become much more right-wing. Then people will be all over us.
No comment on that, Chief.
There you go.
You know me. I don't talk politics.
There you go, buddy. Take care of yourself.
Go Blue.
SP Futures down 10.50. NASDAQ Futures down 36.50. Come back. We got Kenny?
We should have Kenny.
Mr. Kenny Polcari.
Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including 4 past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering 3 research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top 3 tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than 3 decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, President of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with their choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net. Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised...
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen. Just Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures down 10, which they've been pretty much since we got here. NASDAQ futures down 35. And I'm going to say, direct from Davos, we have Mr. Kenny Polcari.
No, direct from Boca, you have Mr. Kenny Polcari.
Well, if not, why not? Aren't you over there?
Yeah, why not? My invite must have gotten lost in the mail.
Is this one of these things where you got to get invited, or if you just got enough dough, you can show up?
I think it's a little bit of both, right? Because I think Greta got invited, and I think everyone else pays their way.
So what do you figure a just a plain old glass like a Chianti goes for over there.
Oh my God, I can't even. I would have no idea, but it's clearly not a bargain.
I'm thinking, well, depends on who you're sitting there talking to, and if you can dodge paying for it, it's a bargain.
Yeah, I suppose if you go to one of the Scaramucci sponsored events, it's probably a bargain, right? Because he's picking up the tab, I would imagine.
Well, that'd be all right. God, so what do you make of this, Kenny? We had what exactly did Moody's do to Hong Kong? They're down like almost
3%. Oh my God, they cut the rating on Hong Kong by from AA3 to AA2, which I don't think sounds like such a big deal, but I think it was like, and I put it in my note this morning, there's going to be this innocuous event. There's going to be something that on the surface maybe doesn't appear to be, you know, anything substantial, but it's just going to be enough to check one or two of the boxes and give people a reason to take money off the table. But last night, I mean, look, Hong Kong was down 2.8% last night, right, on the back of that downgrade, which I think is kind of interesting, but I think it goes to show a little bit of the angst and nervousness that still pervades the market. And I think, you know, you're going to get some event like that over here, some you know, small event that's going to give people a chance to go, you know what, this rally's going on a little bit too long, let me lock in some profits. And then you'll see the market correct and readjust. But I'm not really sure. I tried to read this morning what was so substantial about that downgrade, and it didn't appear as if there was anything that substantial that would have caused an almost 3% pullback in the Hong Kong market.
Kenny, I'm not an expert.
Makes me believe that, you know, people are just looking for some excuse behind the curtain to say, let me take a little bit off the table.
I'm not an expert on how that's working over there, but is Hong Kong still a borrower under themselves without even under the China umbrella? I mean, China's encroaching on that independence every year. Are they still borrowing as independent? They must be.
Well, I think they are. I do think they are. But like you, I'm not an expert in that field, but my gut tells me that they still are. Although, like you said, China is trying to encroach on that a little bit, but Hong Kong remains independent in that sense, I think.
Well, is it... I mean, the rest of the world, you know, certainly the financial press and everything, to two grumpy old guys that talk on Tuesday morning, not making any names, you and I have always questioned the idea that you had a 2000 and 2007-8 crash, essentially, brought upon by too much debt, and we worked our way out of it by doubling the debt. I mean, at some point, you know, a downgrade would seem to be the least of our worries, but you would think somewhere along the line...
Go back to the financial crisis. Was it brought on by too much debt, or was it really ignited by a range of unregulated products that, you know, that they were all trading amongst each other, that as long as the market was going up, everything was fine, but when the global economy started to kind of struggle a little bit, you know, a lot of these products, which were never tested in a down market, all of a sudden got tested. Was that because of debt, or was it really just because of we allowed the unregulated products to become so big and so dependent on, you know, the financial system became so dependent on it, right? There's that conversation. I'm not necessarily sure. I mean, yeah, okay, people were given money to go out and buy houses, so in that sense, you know, debt did bring it down. But the global economy started to struggle, and then all of those esoteric products, the ABSs, the CDSs, the CMOs, the CMAs, you pick the acronym, they all started to implode and froze, which then caused the massive meltdown in the equity markets across the world because people could sell equities when you couldn't sell the crap you should have sold.
That's true, but isn't that the risk you take when you get more indebted? Is if anything bad happens during the time at which you borrow the money, in which all the good stuff you're going to get from borrowing it happens?
Yeah, you could. I mean, yes. You could certainly make that argument. You could certainly pin that as one of the causes. But I really think from where I sat during that whole crisis, I really think that it was much more ignited by the failure of all those esoteric products that were unregulated.
Don't disagree. There was 35 hours of, but I guess what I'm saying is, the housing prices that were going up.
Yeah.
And you had people then borrowing, using the house as their piggy bank. So instead of paying the house down along the way, which is what a mortgage is supposed to do, it was probably higher than at any time when you first got the mortgage in a lot of places.
Well, and that's what some of those mortgage products, you know, those teaser rates that got a lot of these people in to houses they probably could not have afforded under normal circumstances, and then gave them this false sense of security for 2 or 3 years while the rates remained low. But when those rates started to tick up and the global economy started to suffer and people started to lose their jobs as a result of the economy suffering, that's when all that crap blew up, right? Did they borrow more than they should have? Sure. Yes. But I think a lot of the products that were designed allowed that to happen, right?
Don't disagree. I think it comes down to people have not had increases in real income enough to maintain the lifestyle they feel that they should have. Not just people, but governments the same way. When you look at the Chinese situation, and again, I'm no expert, but it seems to me that every time anybody gets backed into a corner, them, us, European Central Bank, the solution is more debt. I mean, 2 weeks ago, they lowered the reserve requirements again, right? This is after saying a few times, we're not going to do that ever again. And oh, by the way, go out and get your loans, but get them dollar denominated or euro denominated. We don't want them Rwanda denominated. So all that debt is out there that wasn't there 10 years ago, right? The dollar denominated stuff. And the stuff here, you look at the debt numbers here from individual people, they're starting to creep up again right before, like they were 2006, okay? For a long time, the consumer debt was, consumers were behaving. Now they're not. It's flying back up again.
Well, they're not because, we can have this conversation. They're not because I think they've kept rates so artificially low now for so long that people once again get comfortable with the cheap money going, oh, I can afford this, I can borrow it, I can afford it, until they can't again.
Right.
And I think that's also going to be another part of the conversation about what's the next move for the Fed. The Fed has to realize once again that that's going to be a problem if rates start to spike. But if inflation kicks up its ugly head, the Fed's not going to have any choice but to raise rates to try to stall or stop or slow that down. And that's going to be the next crisis. Now, what happens this year, it happens next year, whatever it's going to happen, clearly we're going to have another quote-unquote event, right? I don't want to call it a crisis necessarily, but we'll get another event. It's part of the normal cycle. I get it. But considering where we are in terms of the debt that we've taken on as individuals as well as a country, yeah, that poses big problems.
Well, I mean, it's somewhere along the line, if the rating agencies are doing their job, we should we should expect a downgrade here and there, right?
And if the rating agencies had done their job prior to the great financial crisis, instead of giving all those unregulated products, those AAA ratings, yeah, everything's fine, AAA, they didn't know what was in those products, and that became evident post the crisis when everyone turned around and said, what was Moody's, Fitch, and the other one doing? They don't even know what's in those, what were in those products that they signed off on and said, oh yeah, these are all AAA, no worries. And
well,
so that's
Kenny,
once again, you thought you would think that they would have learned their lesson by now.
But do you think, with this somewhat vindictive gentleman we have in the White House, you want to be the head of Standard & Poor's when you lower the rating on the U.S. government?
No, I don't. I don't want to be that person at all.
Yet, one of these days it might have to happen, as we just blew through $23 trillion the other day, right?
Yeah.
Kenny, take care. Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, I did have a good weekend. It was a little bit chilly down here in Florida this morning, but it'll clear up in another couple of days or so. We're getting hit with that cold blast that you guys are getting.
Well, it's an ice skating rink up here. Although the streets and sidewalks are all ice.
Yeah, anyway, but down here it's still 65, but that's a little bit chilly considering, you know, on Sunday it was 80.
My heart,
on the beach.
My heart bleeds for you. Take care of yourself, bud. SP Futures down 10.50. The SP Futures down 35. Be right back.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's john@PTISecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening here.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm tonight's Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We also have Mr. Jeff Joseph from Lucky Fox Magazine. SP Futures down 10. NASDAQ Futures down 34.75. And Jeff has put a goal for next year, Matty. You and I, guests of Luck Box at Davos.
How about that?
The Luck Box Magazine suite at Davos?
All we got to do, we have a couple of martinis, just sign Luck Box.
I like that. It's a good plan.
And then he gets a bill for like $100 for the two martinis. Hey, what's with you guys drinking so much? I don't think you want to pay for your bar bill at Luck Box. mean,
no saying. One wants to pay for my bar bill anywhere.
No, it's just one of those things. But but then we have to go out and buy. We have to go out and spend. If we're going to be on the air on TV, you got to spend like $1,000 on an overcoat or something or a ski jacket.
Yeah, you got to look good, right?
Yeah, you got to. What's that weird brand that everybody wears now? They're like $1,200 a coat.
The Goose one, whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Something.
Right.
Canadian Goose.
So, Jeff, we got what? Maybe you can educate us because I honestly do not know. How does the big news last night was if Hong Kong is down 2.8% as they were cut by Moody's. Not a lot, but they were cut. Are they independent borrowers still with all the, I'm going to say, encroachment that the big China's done to them? They still borrow all their own money independently? They must.
You know, I don't know. And that's actually, I really don't know. I know the credit rating went down. It was a minor one,
yeah.
Right? It was AA2 to AA3. Not anything particularly significant, but, and I didn't look deeply into it other than noting the top line word was inertia. That the agency cited a degree of inertia that was responsible for the downgrading, and maybe that's some code for increased tensions between China and Hong Kong. I'm not sure what that actually means, but I don't know if I would assume that China continues to underwrite their balance sheet, but maybe that's not the case.
Yeah, I mean it's they didn't downgrade mainland. It was these guys. Here's a headline that I hope these guys didn't take too much credit for this. As you say on the trading floor, Jeff, thanks for the flash, Gordon. Get a load of this. Where you're born determines the opportunities you get in life, says the World Economic Forum. Do you think?
Taking them a while to come to that conclusion?
So let's see. Some dude born on the North Shore might have a slightly better chance than a guy born in Yemen. I think that's probably a... I don't think you get too many arguments on that one, are you? I mean,
No. In fact, I'm a bit embarrassed now because I taught my 17-year-old daughter over this past weekend what a porn star, how you determine a porn star name, old joke, because something came up about our first dog and street address. So I only thought of that where you were born in the context of your porn star name. I never really...
Oh, God. So how do you come up with a porn star name?
You don't know that? No, of course you know that, right?
Yeah.
It's your first dog. No, your the name of your first pet is the first name, and the name of the first street you grew up on is your last name.
What if it's a numbered street?
Then you're like the third. You're like a legacy porn star. You're the third,
God.
The fourth,
like
the 15th.
Scruffy 95th.
Yeah.
Scruffy 95, yeah.
So what is yours?
Well, my first dog was named Rex, so that wouldn't be so bad.
Not bad. Rex what?
We were 102nd place. So I don't know.
Rex 102. Yeah. That's like a rapper name. That's a whole different thing.
Those guys get shot though, yeah. Or overdose. I don't want to be one of those guys.
They do. Yeah. So I only knew of where you were born determining your porn star status. I had no idea it had anything to do with your outcome in life. Who would have thought that?
I'm sure a few dudes get out of Yemen, but I'm not so sure it's there to Sudan. But I don't know that it's necessarily the normal thing.
I missed your setup on that. Did you say that came out of Davos?
World Economic Forum.
Well, that's great insight.
Yeah. God. I have a question for
I have a question for you. Let me back up. You always begin your segment. I've been meaning to ask you. It's one of my old favorite songs. What made you choose Buffalo Springfield, right?
Actually, probably Maddie chose it, but that's I'm not so sure that the first two lines of that song have ever changed through the millenniums.
I think it describes our show very well. What's something's happening here?
What it is it exactly clear?
Exactly.
Kind of a show about nothing?
Yes.
Right, I see.
Well, you know what's even worse? Actually, there is a theme. And the theme, it comes from my economic background, is that virtually everything depends on everything else. And there is no subject that doesn't match up kind of with another subject. That's why I enjoy doing it so much, Jeff, is that instead of having one piece of paper in front of me like on TV, I give the story to turn to the next story, like they're independent events. They're never independent events. They're all, there's always some connection between everything, or at least, or there will be someday. You know, and I kind of learned that in grad school, that when you start taking advanced marketing, advanced finance, advanced accounting, when you get to the upper end of the range, you realize it's all the same subject. There's no different. I mean, you can't have a highfalutin marketing department if your finance department sucks.
In the same way that your porn star name is connected to
the World
Economic Forum.
You might have brought up one that doesn't quite connect. But
I see.
Do you think there's any hookers over at Davos?
You know, that's a... Is that a research question?
They call them escorts over there.
Manny, yeah, they would call them escorts, I would think.
Yes. Manny, right. Who did we have on the show when we first started? Was some kind of an economist dude, and he studied some of the weirdest stuff, Jeff. And he was talking about, this is when we first started to have this, you know, rich people make more money than the other people. Rich people always made more money, but a larger percentage of the population, the wealth going to the top 3 and 4%. Didn't he come up with some long story, Manny, about how he could tell by the price of low price hookers was going down and the price of high price hookers was going up?
That is a thing. I've worked with an economist in the past who had
it's gotta be the same guy.
He had a hooker index, right? I'm trying, if you recall his name, I could affirm that.
I can't. Manny remembers all the names.
But a lot of it had to do with Las Vegas economy, and during better economic times, there's more business trips, there's more conferences in Vegas, and he did have a hooker index, and he's still around. I saw it less than 9 months ago.
Did you used to go to Vegas back in like the late 70s, 80s?
I did, and then about 8 years ago, I was a principal in a development project. We had two restaurants and a nightclub at the Las Vegas Venetian the Palazzo, which are, you know, adjacent hotels. So,
good for you.
I was there once every 3 or 4 weeks for a couple year period.
Well, they used to go through iterations on the hookers, to where you'd go one, you know, in May there wouldn't be anybody anywhere, and somehow or another somebody must like win a court case or something, and you go in September at every single bus stop there's two people sitting at them trying to I mean, but it never was. It either was crawling with them or none of them, and there must have been iterations in the how the law was either being enforced or being interpreted or something, because you never would see those kinds of hey, people said there's hookers out here, I don't see anybody, and all of a sudden 3 months later you get solicited when you're jogging, and so it was the weirdest thing. Why was either all in or all out?
As you recall, there was a big slowdown in during the Obama years, and the business owners were blaming Obama for some public statements he made about not having corporations go to Las Vegas, which, you know, that being an irresponsible use of corporate funds for boondoggle events or for, you know, things like that. And that put cast a pall over the city for a couple years, and it's long since recovered from that. And I'm not directly associating it with his comments, but the business owners certainly did.
Well, for a long time, it was incredibly cheaper to have something going on there, because the air flights were much cheaper, especially in that era between deregulation.
It still seems to be cheaper because in my business, almost every conference now is in Las Vegas, which means I'm there like six times a year, and that's about five times too many for me personally. But yeah, there used to be kind of a rotation where they would do like maybe every other year in Las Vegas, and then they'd go somewhere else. Now it's just everything is in Las Vegas.
Yeah, well, they've lost San Francisco as a, you know,
right. I
mean, nobody wants to go to San Francisco for business events any longer. You know, it's a tough thing. And I agree with you about Vegas. I'm not a fan at all. If there's just nothing about that city that's particularly redeeming or draws me back.
No, I enjoy laying a bet down here and there, but now you can do that here.
Anywhere, right.
And other than that, I mean, you know, nothing about it is good. The day pools in the summer, if you're there with friends, are pretty nice, but they're so expensive that it's almost, you know, not even worth it.
You got to pay to go to a pool now?
Well, no, there's free pools.
To enjoy the pool.
But there's day pools that have, you know, like the DJ and all the chicks and everything, and That's a lot of fun, don't get me wrong, but you don't want to be the last one when the bill comes.
Yeah, I don't know, this is the Vegas that I never even knew, so I was way back before. Every place I went, I stayed is gone, except for Caesars and maybe the Flamingo. They're all dead. But, I mean, in terms of getting a whole bunch of people in one place for 2 days and then having the size rooms you need and all those other kinds of things. I think a lot of it has to do with it's so easy to get to airfare-wise. I mean, if you can't get a deal to Vegas, or something wrong with you. Because every airline flies there. And like you say, when I was at Allied Vanlines, Jeff, we did a couple of conventions in San Francisco. I've not heard of anybody doing one there. You know, we had one of those money show things downtown maybe 15 years ago, one of those big hotels over on Market Street. It was pretty nice, but now I think it's gotten prohibitive.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's such a beautiful city.
But their baseball team went up in value, higher percentage in the last 10 years more than anybody else. 5 times it went up.
Yeah, and football's not looking bad either.
Yeah. Jeff, we were talking with Kenny about how the debt, the personal debt and everything is starting to grow again pretty much worldwide. So far it hasn't really been an issue, I mean, until this Hong Kong thing. Certainly has no issue with the stock market. But at some point here, these rating agencies, if they're doing their job, are going to have to start ticking back on some of this. I mean, we just blew through $23 trillion as the U.S. in these states. Is Illinois officially junk? They are, aren't they? Or are they're hanging by a thread on the last non-junk?
I believe so. They certainly should be.
I know it's a little bit about this. If you have a pension fund, of some kind, like the Chicago Teachers or whatever, if somebody gets downgraded, as long as they were investment grade when you bought them, can you keep them? Or do you get like 2 years to sell them?
Illinois is still low investment grade.
Low but not junk?
No, yeah, Illinois avoided deterioration in one of its low investment grade credit ratings on Tuesday when Moody's Investors Service affirmed the state at BAA3.
So what, BAA2 is junk or what? I mean, it's got to be the next one down. What about Chicago? But I guess what I'm saying is the how do you get time to sell it? I mean, in other words, if Illinois was dropped to junk, every pension fund in the state wouldn't have to sell it like this week, would they? All Illinois
buyers?
Well,
no, they wouldn't. You mean being mandated to?
Well, I don't think that public pension funds can invest in junk bonds.
Right, but they would not be. But if you lose a discretion for liquidation, you're going to be at the market's whim.
That's what I'm saying. It's be a horrible idea.
Yeah.
You and I don't. I just wonder how they're worded. Do you have any idea?
Right. No. I've worked with some pension plans in the past that had specific mandates about maintaining a certain ratio of securities below junk status, and they always have a liquidation period. And then often it's at an annual review at year end or at a reporting period. That they, can't be on the books as of a certain reporting period or something. But that would be, different for each plan.
Every time we've had, we're not with PTI.
And as I also recall, sorry to interrupt, right. But the plan I worked with, which was a East Coast state pension plan and the teachers union plan for that, mandated that you couldn't purchase anything of junk at junk status, but it didn't mandate that you couldn't hold
okay.
in the portfolio.
So you didn't have to puke it all out the day again.
Yeah.
All right, well, that makes sense. What when you I'm not much of a in PTI we do bonds for people if they have them, or usually people transfer them in and if we want to find one for somebody, we get the specs they want and we'll go to RBC and they'll help us out and we'll get one for somebody. And we do a pretty good job at it. Yeah, but I would not consider us a bond house at all. But I'll tell you what, some of the stuff people have transferred in, the markets on that stuff, the liquidity is terrible. Are you guys finding the same thing?
We don't work with them. Well, I'm pretty removed from that, my colleagues don't. They work with equities and options and futures. And
well, I mean, so do we, except yeah. Somebody walks in with one.
Yeah.
You got to do something with it. I mean, I've had a couple that were people brought in, like those TIF bonds and stuff.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
The market's like 40-80 on these things.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I would really, as much as you don't want to keep, pushing ETFs to people, but if somebody wanted to get be involved in bonds, a very highly traded bond ETF, to me, would make more sense than picking out, like, one remote bond. Boy.
Right.
I mean,
I wonder at what point the bond market or equities markets, now that impeachment is officially underway today, I wonder at what point they begin reflecting some concern about our stability. You know, that would be something that you would have expected to occur some time ago, right? But now that it's a reality, perhaps, you'd think the market would start to reflect some concern about the current administration, yet there's no strong indication of that yet.
I don't know. You read... I don't think some... A lot of younger... I'm not going to pin this on younger people. I think a lot of people don't really even care. I mean, I don't know about care. Let's put it this way. There's so many people, Jeff, that are working two jobs, that are struggling. They don't get a chance to watch the stuff that you and I do on a daily basis. You, because you publish, and me, because I have to, by managing money for people, that's what they're paying me for, to watch this crap on the news, basically, right? And to know what to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that, I mean, yesterday was the first day I didn't even open up the, other than sports and reading some books, I didn't do anything until 6 o'clock. God, it felt terrific. And of course, I went to the internet and found out all about Hong Kong and everything, and all night long, and was back in and stuff. But there was a lady, who's the African American lady, who writes on the second page of the Tribune, a column, and she was writing about the impeachment yesterday. You know, I could guess that she's not a Trump fan, but she basically was saying that the Constitution has this as one of the most somber things. The only time that one part of the three executive, legislative, and judicial was the only time one could take over the other is an impeachment process. And it's supposed to be such a somber thing where you have the guy coming from the judicial branch to manage it, Justice Roberts and so forth. So this is an abhorrent thing where somebody tries to be like a king and somebody tries to... It's not a bunch of buffoons either lightly throwing charges up there, which I'm not saying they did. You clearly don't have a guy in the Senate saying, I've already made up my mind, this is not even going to be a trial, and standing there taking the oath on national TV. I mean, they should have a roll call on that oath. Everybody's already made up their mind. I mean, this is not the way most people think our country is supposed to work.
But why do you think that is? Don't you think the absence of an actual criminal charge among the two impeachment counts is somewhat to blame for that insouciance in general? I mean, the indifference to this, it's high crimes and misdemeanors clearly isn't meant to be mutually exclusive from something that is not a crime. But the fact that abuse of power and obstruction of Congress are not crimes anywhere, in any federal statute, anywhere, that they are not crimes, don't you think that has some impact on the general lack of interest?
I think it probably does. I don't know what... I'm not enough of an attorney to know what a high crime and misdemeanor is.
Well, it starts with the word crime.
I understand it. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, I don't know of anybody who could possibly... And in my imagination, and I don't think this is impeachable, make a total travesty of the office like this guy has.
Well, of course, but that's not really the question at hand. I mean, the questions at hand would go back to your statement, is this impeachable? And I think the problem is...
By the way, I've been on the record as saying I don't think it is.
Sure, right. And that, I think, is the problem. Everyone knows...
But even so...
The flaws, and I use that... it should be an all cap word of the president. But, I think there's one certain outcome from this, and that is that I would take a wager with anybody, $10,000 wager with anybody, if we figure out how to make us both accountable for the outcome, with absolutely anyone, that there will be another impeachment within the next 20 years. And that's a result of this now being a politicized process. If you throw away the basic standard that there should be a crime committed. The whole idea of impeachment is you can't indict a sitting president, right? So, of a crime. So if he did commit a crime, or it appears as though he's committed a crime, impeachment was offered as a constitutional remedy for the fact that you can't indict a sitting president. But clearly, you know, there's a reason that bribery wasn't the charge, or what was the other one they floated? Quid pro quo, right? Because they couldn't prove it.
I almost feel like saying which is ignorant, but I'll say it anyway. It's almost like the dude is making up new crimes as he goes along. Crimes we never thought the president would do. I don't even call them a crime.
Boy, I'm not certain of. Listen, I'm no fan either. But I'm willing to separate the policy from the style from substance, right? Which is the only way you can remotely tolerate this president, right? Is separating style from substance, but. The notion that that other presidents haven't engaged in behavior that would be similar to the notion of, hey, if you scratch this back, I'll scratch this back.
Yeah, I agree.
That isn't remotely conceivable. I am absolutely certain that, you know, every prior administration would be indictable for an impeachment offense under the current low bar we're establishing.
But I try and take... It's interesting. I have a feeling, as well as bad radio, you might agree with me on this. To me, this has been exceptionally educational on all levels, in the sense that every time we send money someplace, we seem to be sending the same group of non-denominational Republican and Democrats carpetbaggers chasing this money and getting their finger in the pie at every level. Mm-hmm. And I would love to see when this is over, if it's possible. I mean, the guy's not going to get thrown out. I get that part. And I don't really want him thrown out. So that's... But somewhere you would think, in a world, Jeff, that you and I would like to see, and I'll speak for you on this, is when it's all over, you would think that the president, if he was any kind of a normal human being, which I don't think he is, would get three or four people from both sides, grab their fannies, and bring them to Camp David and said, look, it looks to me like the people who are on my team, the Flynns and the Manafort of the worlds, all they were doing was getting paid by these people over there was essentially our money. And clearly they go over there and they see one of Biden's kids sitting there. And by the way, the evidence seems to show there's 100 other guys that are doing the same thing. Is there any way that as a group in this room, even though we probably all hate each other, can we fix this somehow? Or every time we send $500 million to a country, five or six of the same bleeps from here are going to chase it and come back with $100 million in their own pockets. I mean, is it that corrupt that we can't? But to the I think the education here is, what are all these people doing in these places, other than you know, stealing half our dough? Is any of it going to the people that we're looking to send it to?
Well, look, you know, I think we pick our spots with respect to political influence. I know the Clinton Foundation's not raising a lot of money nowadays. What do you think that is?
Well, but right? Every time, you know, I've had actually three discussions like this week, and I'm going, what this concept of relative guilt.
Oh, no, I'm not bringing it up. I mean, no, I'm not bringing it up for relative guilt. I agree with your statement completely. The concept of relative guilt is one of the problems. You have to start somewhere. My point is simply that this is a long-standing scenario, and that our government is being manipulated by insiders to their personal benefit. And yeah, there's been so many opportunities where you think, if only Trump would just do this or that or this. But no, that's not part of a narcissist doesn't think that way.
My huge bitch about Trump, very simply, the man had an opportunity. My entire lifetime, my adult lifetime, I wished that essentially a third party guy could get in there and kick some ass and throw some of his crap out of there. And he essentially is a third-party guy, and he's wasted that opportunity.
I'm glad we talked it through right up to the break, because that is exactly my number one regret as well.
Yeah.
I've always been a third-party fan. I've always loved the idea of an outsider, and that public service is supposed to be just that, not a job for life. And he's really blown it for her.
Well, last question, though, before we go to break. Did he blow it, or is it actually impossible? He tried.
I'm laughing that you guys think he's a third party guy.
Well, he was.
He's the Fox and Friends guy.
Well, no, he's doing He came out of it.
Well, he's not a political guy,
right?
But he is absolute. I mean, that guy. Everything he says is what he reads in the comments on Fox and Friends.
But he realizes that just happens to be his.
He hasn't had an independent thought in his life, as far as I can tell.
Well, follow me for a second. He realized early on you can't run as an independent here. So he landed with the he wasn't going to run on the Democratic side, because they went on the other side. They had Hillary, and it just so happens because of his personality, he picks up 25% of the extreme people that don't like people. You know, right? I mean, they insult people, so he stayed with that. He understands. He's not a dummy. He understands that 25% of the people like him for what he's become. Am I right, Jeff?
Sure. I have a friend who worked with him for 6 years who said he's a pure opportunist. Opportunist. He's not. He was never considered to be a conservative. He was always a New York social liberal, and this is just an opportunistic, cynical political play.
How many people in Chicago will give you, real quick, and then we got a break, will give you total crap about how it's a Democratic-run city? Do you think the people who run the city care what party they are?
Yes.
You think they do?
Yes.
The people behind them?
I think it's ingrained in this city.
I'm saying the biggest donors to Daley or Rahm Emanuel, how many of them do you think are actually Democrats?
Oh, well, that's for a different reason, because the city's never been on the brink. If you're not donating to Democrats, you'll have no political influence.
Well, I'm just saying that they're emperors. Anyway, SP Futures now, we're coming back a little bit, only down 9. NASDAQ Futures down 28. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 7. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, everybody. Stocks and jocks. I'm Tim Out. Mr. Jeff Joseph, Luckbox Magazine, Mr. Man Weber. SP Futures down 9.25. NASDAQ Futures up 29.50. Dow down 51. Individual stocks. We've got Boeing down 215, which isn't, you know, horrible, considering the story is they're going out to try and borrow $10 billion because they're having some issues, and Jeff and I will talk about that. I don't even, where do you put normal for these guys, Jeff? 3 years? 2 years? 4 years? I mean, it keeps sliding out, doesn't it? Slip sliding away was the song, I believe. Anyway, over in Europe, we have not much going on in Europe. It's over in Asia where the action is. DAX down 19.1%. The FTSE's down some, down 70, it's almost a full 1%, 0.9. CAC around down 48.8%, so a couple of them are moving there. Asia, however, whack, whack. Nikkei down 218.9%, Shanghai down 43.1%, and after the Moody's downgrade, Hang Seng down 2.81%, old number there, 27,985. Bonds have taken, they rallied a little bit, so it means the rates are down some. 10-year yield 1.78, now it was 1.85 a little bit ago. Bund down 20.22. The highest that got was minus 0.17. Japan back in the negative, but not by much, 0.005%. We've got oil down 69 cents, 57.85. So these guys are, West Texas pretty comfortable under $60 here, which is pretty much way lower than it was before any of the stuff when Iran started, which is pretty strange. Brent down 94 cents, 64.24. RBOB gas 162, and our buddy Frank Fahey, texted me a picture last night, 229 somewhere where he was. Silver down 18 cents, 1788. Gold down 6 bucks, 1554. Copper down 3 cents, 281. So if you're looking for copper to blow through 3 to let you know China's doing better, it ain't happening yet. Maddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
38 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We had an earlier crash on the inbound Dan Ryan at Canalport Avenue. That is all clear, but some resulting congestion from that as you're coming in on the Ryan. 95th to downtown is up to 37 minutes in the local lanes. Not too bad as people return to work today, but still not great after that earlier crash. No issues coming in on the Bishop Ford or I-57. Traffic building on the Stevenson and Eisenhower, but nothing out of the ordinary there. We do have heavy traffic coming in on the inbound Kennedy, but no accidents to report. Still working on that fire, Niles Center Road between Toohey and Howard. That has Niles Center Road closed due to that fire. And that's affecting traffic on the Edens due to gapers looking at the fire and the crews to their west. Out in the western suburbs, there's some crashes off the expressways. Route 83 at 63rd Street, there's an accident. Just southwest of there, 75th at Lyman, there is a crash. And then just northwest of there, Route 53 at Roosevelt Road, there's an accident as well. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, lots of sunshine today. A bit warmer, but still below freezing, a high of 30. Right now it's crystal clear and 20 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, rain in the forecast on and off throughout the day and a high of 59. Right now it's rainy and 56. In sports, the Bulls played their MLK Day matinee up in Milwaukee yesterday, losing to the Bucks 111-98. Suns lost at home to the Spurs 120-118. In hockey, Blackhawks were off, but they'll welcome legendary coach and three-time Stanley Cup champ Joel Quenneville back to the United Center tonight. He'll bring his Florida Panthers in to take on the Blackhawks. That's a 7:30 p.m. puck drop. Chief.
And probably the nicest collection of ties, except for a politician, I've ever seen. Jeff, one of the things from earlier, this must be my, you can tell me how nuts I am, because this must be my South Side mentality. I think in society, when you get to a spot, I mean, you're an editor of a magazine, for God's sake, a real nice magazine, and you got people that are working for you, and the last thing they need is for you to say or do something like really stupid, it comes down on other people. And
What have you heard?
not that we couldn't dig, you know. We might find out that you went to a sex club with your wife, and who's the politician? Went to a sex club with his wife, and they threw him out.
Yeah.
Aren't you supposed to go with your wife?
Isn't North Shore guy, right?
Yeah. Anyway, God help you have sex with your wife, right? Yeah. Or is that becoming bad now? Anyway, I guess the thing that bothers me about, and I can't, not that I like Schumer any better, but I can't stand it. The kind of guy I can't stand him. I know his wife's making all his money being on all these boards and stuff, and now she's got the back end of the government thing. But in this country today, there's probably, if you count every jury trial, every arbitration, anything everywhere, the entreaty to every person in this country, every lowlife in this country, anybody who's not a senator or a president, the idea is you're supposed to listen to this impartially, whatever it is, even if it's the most notorious gangbanger on earth, and did he shoot the guy when your 99% of your body says the guy's already guilty, and the idea is you're supposed to listen to the stuff. You might find something you never heard. You're not supposed to judge because he's black or because he's white or because he's Muslim or because he's Polish or because he's Irish, which is just as easily happened. You're not supposed to do that, right? And yet we have the head of the Senate, the fourth most powerful person in the country, saying, hey, I already been paying attention to this. This is BS. I'm not going to... And then stands there and takes the oath. You can't teach your kid to use the bathroom, wash your hands, and then go to school and find the principal peeing off the front porch. It doesn't help, Jeff. It doesn't help. I know that's crude, but am I right or not? I mean, you have to maintain some sanctity of the process, even if you don't like what the Democrats have done, which I'm not so sure I like what they did either. They came up with, I could have found four more worse things the guy did in the last 2 weeks, but that's just me. And at the end of the day, you got an election in 6 months. Just give it up till November. But then again, I don't like the idea. Did you see the Jewish guy? Jewish guy from the Israel prime minister. I assume he's Jewish. Did you see his story last week? The exact same words Trump used.
Netanyahu?
Yeah, it was a conspiracy of the left-wing press, blah, 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 and they're going against the will of the people. So, okay, you get elected, you can do whatever you want for 4 years, and that guy's a crook. Didn't they get him for getting, kickbacks on everything? I mean, we haven't been able to... I don't think Trump's done any of that. I mean, the guy's an out-and-out crook, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's saying the will of the people wants him there, even if he's a crook. What is that all about?
It's not new. I forget who the MSNBC historian that's on frequently, and I'm just not... His name is escaping me, but he was speaking to the history of presidents attacking the press, which obviously goes way, way, way back to Adams and has never, never, never ceased. You know, it's always been an ongoing thing. And then, I'm old enough to remember nattering nabobs of negativism.
Yeah.
Who was that? Spiro Agnew. So, yeah.
There was a classy creature.
Yeah. Yeah, he was, as I recall, he was the one who really kind of resurrected that, in that early era.
Didn't he get wung out from stuff he did as governor of New Jersey? He resigned early, right?
He resigned early.
They caught him as he was taking money as a governor of New Jersey or police chief or something.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he looked that up. I think he was governor of New Jersey. And it was nothing he did in office. It just was his...
That's right. Yeah. So yeah,
well, nothing that we knew he did in office,
right? So that idea of you always attack the credibility of your attackers, right? We're working on China right now as a focus of the next issue of Luckbox, and much of the
current disease gets out of there first.
Yeah, the coronavirus, right? And much of the most contemporary views on China policy is starting to recognize that, China has been operating under a kind of a stealth war plan for the last decade and considers this to be their retribution period for the prior century. And that the BRI, the Belt Road Initiative, which is pledged anywhere from 900 billion to $4 trillion for China to spend on the infrastructure of neighboring countries for the purposes of kind of reinvigorating the Silk Road concept, which would bring all roads leading to China, but not in an exchange, but in exchange for political influence in the countries that it makes infrastructure investments in. So all this is something that our State Department is becoming more and more aware of, and you add human rights abuses and censorship and surveillance and concerns about TikTok and all the reasons to be concerned about China, and much of their current operating protocol towards the United States continues to come back to Sun Tzu's The Art of War, right, which is that 6th century BC military treatise that's been cited by everybody, right?
Everybody, especially people who've never read it.
Well, yeah, and so I've been reading it, and because we're...
You don't get to quote it. You only get to quote it if you don't read it.
Well, we're pulling quotes out of it right now, and the most prominent quote that is kind of the underpinning to this is that something to the effect that a good warrior a brilliant warrior never fights his battle on the battlefield, right? And that's the whole notion that China doesn't want military conflict with the U.S., but they are fighting more or less a stealth war, you know, to try to win the war without actually
Jeff, what do you think, in terms of goals? I mean, it doesn't appear to be any question that you are correct, but now, how far do you think they've thought it through? Are we talking about, I mean, a lot of people thought, wrongly, I guess, that Hitler just wanted back what he thought got stolen in World War One. You know, the Danzig corridor, the Sudetenland, maybe even Austria, those kinds of areas. That was the corridor that separated West Prussia and East Prussia, right?
Right.
But he was just. Are we talking, in your opinion? Because you're the most advanced China thought guy we ever had in the show. Are we just talking the South China Sea? Are we talking about dominance over Korea, maybe Thailand? Areas, are we talking about 5 years from now or 20 years from now we want to take over India? Why you'd want to, I have no idea. Is Russia safe? I mean, are we safe? Do they hate us just because we might be somebody that won't let them take over Korea or the South China Sea? Or do they actually have envisions of having a Chinese mayor in Chicago someday 100 years from now?
Well, they have, not to be an alarmist, but they have broad ambition. Their geopolitical ambitions are economic more than geographic. It's not about taking over, you know, the United States or having a mayor, but they certainly want to control world economy and be dominant there. And speaking to, and, you know, just the absolute fear for people going on the record that we run into over and over again. If you have any business interest in China, you are not talking about China, bottom line. You're just not going
to do it.
But those...
You can talk about our guys here, you can't talk about their guys.
Yeah, but those who feel free to talk about, you know, say that back home, everybody knows, and these are Chinese nationals or people that now live in the United States, or say that, you know, everyone knows that last century was a century of humiliation. In terms of China's defeats to the U.S., and that they consider this century to be the century of retribution or revenge.
When did we defeat them? Was it Japanese that killed?
Well, no, it's an economic defeat that they refer to. You know, it's a different thing, and that has everything to do with the Belt Road Initiative, which they've already spent about $600 billion on. With, you know, again, the price tag will exceed $1 trillion, And this is part of everything that they do. So, for example, every public corporation in China, including those publicly traded in the U.S., like Baidu and Baba and Tencent and JD.com, these are all publicly traded U.S. companies that are, every one of those companies and every company in China must have a member of the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, on its board of directors. So, you know, the Huawei situation is just really interesting right now, because Germany's in a predicament. Merkel doesn't know what to do. She does not want to ban, you know, follow the West lead or the U.S. lead to put Huawei on what's called the entity list. So the entity list, I think it came about in 1997 here. It's the Department of Commerce has what's called the entity list, which now has 70 pages of countries on it that, you know, that we can't do business with. And of course, U.S. in May of this year put Huawei on that entities list and is exerting pressure in Europe to have other countries follow suit.
Jeff, one of my clients called, and I've had a couple people on the show that I don't think are as knowledgeable as you kind of poo-poo this, but one of the clients is convinced that strictly legally, well, obviously they were let here, and our guys aren't let there as much, but they have an incredible amount of patents on this 5G that maybe without those, our guys are going to have real problems. Is that part of this? Have you heard that? Is that part of this mix, or is that just one of my clients reading the wrong thing?
Yes, that's one of the concerns, is that they are so far, that first of all, that they have the leverage because they're so far ahead in exploiting 5G. You know, because everyone's making the investment in 5G, and if you can't optimize its usage because of the vendors and platforms that you're working with, then you're not going to realize the return on investment. So yeah, that's an active concern, is that their current patents optimize the latency, the expanded devices, and all the benefits of 5G.
Yeah, who the hell? And I don't expect you. I heard some, driving along in the car, minding my own business the other day, I heard some story about how in the last month or 6 months or something, IBM, 1,800 or 1,500 patents. Who the hell even knows what these things are? And if you ever try and do something, somebody's just going to block you or what?
No.
I mean, how many patents did these people have that, I mean, they got to be so close to each other that the whole world's going to be in court.
Well, the irony is that China really doesn't care about patent law.
Right.
You know, IP infringement.
Well, who does here? Nobody here does here either.
Right. Well.
Right.
Well.
You and I, we're losers and somebody comes after us.
Right, exactly. Right. And here it's enforceable. Right.
But, so what do you think, if you look at a list of 10 first things to do, what do you think it is? I mean, I guess this is the, I mean, we accuse, I say we, I don't ever want to come across as libertarian that we're always worse than the next guy, but it's hard for me to understand how we are always that concerned about somebody eavesdropping on us when, does anybody have 4,000 satellites sitting over everybody's country on Earth watching their every move like we do? We can take pictures of guys in the Tiananmen Square. China can't do that to us, can they? I sure hope not.
I don't know. I don't know. But the question as to what extent that data
right.
is being, you know, accumulated on citizens is a question. And you can, there's a fair question there as to, you know, since the Patriot Act, to what extent is data being acquired on U.S. citizens. And we know it is being acquired, but it apparently is being warehoused and not being utilized. But you
until
know,
they want to,
yeah. But China is listen that social that the SCI, what is it, the SSI or SSI, the social scoring system that they've implemented. There's an acronym for it, which that's not a maybe thing. That's not just a bad Black Mirror episode. That's a real thing now, and that exists. If you live in China, you have a social score that the government maintains on you, and they can manipulate your score based on your activity. And things from your searches, you know, what you do, how you do it, all impacts your score, and your score determines everything for you.
So do you think they lifted or actually bought the copy of 1984 that they've obviously been reading? I think they hacked into it. I don't think they even bought it. What is, maybe this is a little bit of a Manny Weber question. Suppose I was kind of these hacker kind of guys, which would be a laugh. And all of a sudden I got Jeff's Joseph's mother's maiden name, your social security number, and five other things about you and one credit card number. other than trying to use a credit card, what is all the rest of that stuff even worth? What can I do with it?
I can tell you from when we were researching a privacy issue earlier, the dark web has data on that they sell in tranches, so you can't buy an individual. You can't say, hey, I want to buy, you know, Matty Weber's personal information, but you can say, I want to buy, you know, 100,000 Capital One account cardholders between 19 blank and, you know, between these dates. And because of the pure volume of information from hacks that have yielded millions and millions of personal data files, so personal records on the dark web can go as low as $6-7 a piece. And if you're buying in over 100,000 increments, you're paying less than a dollar per record.
And what do I do with it when I get it?
You know, and then, you know, phishing. Use it to then try to, you know, get into people's accounts. And
well, that's what happened in a lot of securities fraud that I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. People got in and they essentially became Jeff and told one of the guys that used to come on as a guest, and hopefully will again soon, somebody hacked into their email service at their place. But this takes work. This isn't just getting them, you know, you have to have somebody who knows the hell they're doing. The guy must have read enough emails to get their style, and was like you and I had a business. They hacked into my account and they had me send an email to you to write out a check for $500 for Matty Weber. And you did. You thought that I asked you to, and you did.
Right.
And you know, obviously Matty Weber is the guy who did that probably to get his $500. But a lot of that is happening. But that takes some personalities. It takes a little bit of knowledge of the language. I mean, there's work to that, not just it. You know, it's just not the password, right?
That's right. Yeah, there is work.
I understand why you wouldn't want somebody to have it. I mean, I get that. Because if there's information out there, it'll end up being used. It's like the state saying that your information on the toll road when you go through there, why would they use it? The fact is, it is being used, right? Divorce cases and everything else. I mean, you don't want it there. But can you get anybody to just get rid of data? Because would it ever die?
Don't know. No, I don't think so. I think that I don't know. I've just recently, as a result of, and I'm not really someone who's into conspiracy in any way or the fear mongering, but the more I learned, the more I just killed my, which I hated doing, my cell phone number, which I owned for, had to be 20 years.
Don't tell me you got a burn phone. I'm going to get one.
I got rid of my cell phone number. It was being dominated by robocalls anyways, and after reading a couple things, start over, don't give it out so often.
Don't tell me you went and got a new one.
I ditched my old 20-year phone number intentionally, which was, you know, a hard thing to do. Hey, listen, a minute to go, I got a quick question for you. I'm just curious. What do you think about the New York Times endorsement of Klobuchar and Warren?
I think they're out of their mind. I like Amy Klobuchar, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know what, though, Jeff? I don't get to hear the... When do you get to find out what Amy Klobuchar thinks? What part of the 8-person debate when she's on for 5 minutes? Yeah. When are we... Do we not want to know?
I guess we're only supposed to know that she's a moderate.
Well, that means I probably would like her.
Yes, right.
She seems kind of tough. I actually do like her.
Yeah,
I do too. I don't want Warren anywhere near the place.
I like moderate. I mean, Klobuchar and Buttigieg. I like both of them.
I don't want Warren anywhere near the place.
Oh no, not at all.
I don't get that. Oh, so who do you like in the? We'll have you back before then. What's your early read in the Super Bowl?
Well, I think you got to go KC. I don't know. Matty, what about you?
I think, it's going to be interesting. San Francisco has the great defense and pass rush, and they can run the ball. Kansas City can't stop the run, but they have the explosive offense and the much better quarterback and offensive weapons. Mm-hmm. If it's a shootout, I like Kansas City, I think. If San Francisco can control the game and run the ball like they did against Green Bay, I think they can beat anyone.
Yeah,
that's why the line is less than 3, last I saw. I think Kansas City was minus 2 or 2.5.
Yeah.
The offensive line coach has got to have nightmares about that Bosa kid. You think?
Oh, he's unbelievable.
He's unreal.
Yeah, as a rookie.
Yeah, SP Futures down 11. Nancy Futures down 31. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What do we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.